Father in heaven, we thank you. You've given us your word. You've revealed yourself to us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. We thank you that it's true and it's trustworthy. And Lord, in my weakness, help me to uncover anything you want us to know, to see, to do in the word that we're going to focus on today. I pray this in the name of the word, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There was a friend of a well-known preacher named Phil Brooks who was visiting him one day, and Philip was usually a very calm kind of guy, and this day he was pacing back and forth like a lion. And so the man said, "Phil Brooks, what's going on?" And this was his answer. He says, "God, I'm in a rush, but God isn't. I'm in a rush, but God isn't." Have you ever felt that way? What's taking so long, Lord? I think that was the situation with these Jewish believers that James is writing to. Now, again, let's remember, they were refugees. They were persecuted. They had to leave their farms and their homes, and they had to go and find a different place to live, leave much of their belongings behind, as refugees do, and go find some place to live. And that caused a lot of hardship. And I'm sure there are many parents thinking, how am I going to feed my kids tomorrow? What's going on here? How long do we have to endure this, Lord? So there was just this sense of how long, how much longer are we going to have to deal with this? Saying, God, we need you now. We need you to do something now. Have you ever felt that way? I think that's something, especially if you're going through a hard time, you're in some kind of pain or dealing with grief or loss, you want it to be over. You want it to be ended. But James has a lot of wisdom for them and for us. And so we'll look at that today and see how God wants to minister to us. So here's the passage we're going to focus on today. Be patient, therefore, brothers, includes sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit. Notice the word precious. Why is he calling it precious? Precious fruit of the earth, being, what's the word? Patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also, what's it say? Be patient. That's a command. That's in the imperative in the Greek. So he's commanding us, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Anybody have a problem with patience? Just yesterday, my wife will tell you I was impatient, and that's not something easy. Are we born with patience? You ever hear of a parent saying, "You won't believe what happened last night. My infant had a wet diaper and was hungry, and just decided to sleep in till the morning so that they wouldn't disturb mom or dad and they could have a whole night's sleep." That doesn't happen, does it? We're born impatient, you know. We want it now. How about our culture? Does our culture encourage patience? We're interested not in good food, but in fast food. And scientists are telling us that our brains are being rewired, making us more impatient. Scientists are also telling us that our cell phones or being in front of screens is, they use the word stealing our attention span. Stealing our attention span. So we're not learning patience. Being patient is counter to our cultural. I don't know, sometimes I watch a commercial on TV and it's like, whoa, what happened? I mean, just so many scenes, so quick, and just so, everything's like so fast. And patience is something that's not really valued. Sometimes our culture even values impatient things because they think they get more things done. So this is very countercultural. God is telling these people to be patient. And again, they're going through a hard time. And their patience is wearing, I mean, they don't have patience, they're being impatient. And God wants them to know what they can control, their attitude, but what they can't control is God's timing. And so we see that in this scripture. So these Jewish refugees were hurting, a lot of division, and to add insult to injury, the rich people in their community would see their needs, see them have needs for clothing or food, and they would just say, God bless you and keep you warm. They weren't really using their wealth to share to their brothers and sisters. Now, they live in a world, some theologians call it already and not yet. We live in the same world, already and not yet. Already, Jesus has come, the Messiah, the predicted one, the prophesied one has come, lived, died, and rose from the dead. Already, we have the Word of God. Already, we have the Holy Spirit being poured out on us. But there's a not yet, right? The Messiah has not yet finished his work. There's still sin in the world. There's still sickness in the world. There's a not yet. Satan has not been thrown into hell. There's all this not yet. Every Sunday, we celebrate this already and not yet. You know how we do it? In the mystery of faith. You got it. Christ has died. Christ is risen. That's the already. And will come again. That's the not yet. And we say that on Sundays. It reminds us there's an already, but there's a not yet. So they're living in this already, but not yet season in their lives. And what's the word that James has for them? Be patient. And he wants them to, and again, trying to be practical. If you're going through a hard time, be patient. And he wants to give them three pieces of wisdom. One is you got to trust God's timing. Two, God's closeness. And three, God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. Now, they really knew that he was coming. So you see the context. It doesn't just say be patient. It says be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. So James is reframing it. And what happens when the Lord comes back? Time ends. Everything that's wrong gets put right. And so he's kind of putting it in the context of eternity. God's timing. You have to trust God's timing. And when you see it in all of eternity, if we believe Jesus was coming back any day now, and with all that's going on in the world today, it sure seems more possible for us, some of us, to see the Lord's return. But if you knew the Lord was coming and you were going through a hard time, wouldn't that empower you? Okay, he's coming back. Time's going to end. Whatever I'm going through right now is what? Temporary. When Jesus comes back, time as we know it will come to an end. What I'm going through, everything in life here is temporary. Some of you know this professor at Regent, Dr. Mara Crabtree. She focused on spiritual formation, been a longtime professor at Regent. And I've been visiting her. She wanted to become part of our church more recently. And so I've been visiting her, and she's been in a rehab place. And she's been homebound for a couple years. And last Sunday, I was visiting her, talking, had communion with her. We had a joyous time. And just a couple of days later, she's with the Lord. I don't know. I think we've all had experience. Life is temporary. Just kind of to remember the words that were in the psalm today that Vivian read. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and number my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. So, James is telling us, as we think about being patient, consider the Lord's return, look at it in the whole context of eternity. But also, I see there's like a layered meaning here. I think he's also wanting us to be aware of the closeness of the Lord. So I think talking about his coming is also a way to remind us that he's close to us. And especially when it says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord, what's it say, is at hand. So again, close. Do not grumble against one another, brother, so you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing, what's it say? At the door. You see the sense of the Lord's closeness to us. when somebody's going through a hard time, and we've had some powerful testimonies here, our Alicia Greeley, our office administrator, Misty Taylor, about how God ministered to them in very, very hard times. And that passage at the beginning of this book of James, whenever you encounter trials and tribulations, count it all, or pure joy, count it all joy, because God can take those things and work good from them, work character in us. He's more interested in our character than he is our comfort. And so I think the other thing that James wants us to know is, when you're going through a hard time, when you're suffering, remember that the Lord is close. And even remember what Paul said. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I like that part of the verse, but does it stop there? It says, and I want to share in the fellowship of his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so God uses hard things in our life to make us more like Jesus. He uses all things in our life to make us more like Jesus. And so suffering is something that Jesus said is going to happen to us, and that James is telling us it's important to be patient. So God's timing, we have to trust that, God's closeness. And the third thing is God's sovereignty. I like this definition of patience. Can we read it together? Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. So God's sovereignty. He's in control. Patient is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. Now then he goes on and he talks about Job and the prophets as an example. Well, what do Job and the prophets have how are they alike? They went through suffering, didn't they? Was the suffering because they did something wrong? Why did they suffer? Because they were doing what God wanted them to do. Suffering, the prophets and Job, they were not suffering. Does the enemy sometimes lie to us when we're suffering and say, this is happening because you're at fault, you did something wrong, there's something wrong with you? He wants to bring condemnation to us. But here, Job and the prophets, they were suffering because they were obeying and following God. Now, how about Jesus? Did he suffer? Did he suffer because he did something wrong or because he was obeying God? So I think James is reminding us that, hey, sometimes we can just go through hard times because we're obeying God. I think persecution's coming to our country. Unless there's a move of God, a revival, I think persecution is coming to our country, and we should be aware or prepared to see more hard things happen to us because we're followers of Jesus. Now, it's interesting to me that he picks Job's perseverance. He kind of honors Job, doesn't he? Now, if you've read the book of Job, did Job complain? I think he did. Third chapter of Job, he said, I wish I was never born. You know what that shows me? The mercy and compassion of God. He knows when we're going through a hard time that we want to complain. We want answers. And Job challenged God. But when all these things first started to happen to Job, do you remember what he said? He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We kind of sang that in one of our songs today. Whether good things are happening, whether hard things are happening, is he worthy of praise? So we praise him. So going through a hard time, praise God. He's worthy of praise. Not just when we're going through good times and wonderful things are happening, but we praise him. And then Job also went on to say that, for I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. So he never gave up his faith in God. He never let go of his faith in God. Now, and he did kind of challenge God. God, I need an answer. I need some answers. So you know what that tells me? When we're going through a hard time, we can be real with God. He didn't deny the existence of God. He never became an atheist. And when he had his complaints, who did he go to with his complaints? He took his complaints to God. You see that in the Psalms too. So there's that relationship was always there, but he had a lot of questions. And in the end, there's no easy answers that God gave him, except that basically that God's ways were so much higher than his ways. But that Joel persevered, and he was honored because he persevered. Now this next passage, and I'm not the Bible answer man, and I have to be real. I looked at a lot of commentaries, and I'm not sure I really understand this next passage. And it has to do with those words, above all. After all in the book of James, be not hearers but doers, and all the things in the book of James, above all, don't make these oaths. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So what I felt the Holy Spirit just say, emphasize the truth, that when we're followers of Jesus, when we say yes, what should it mean? And when we say no, what should it mean? Should we be people of integrity? Is our God, is his yes mean yes? And so we have to be holy like our God by the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, that our yes should be yes, and when we say we're going to do something, we either do it or explain why we couldn't do it, but that there's integrity in our lives, and that reflects the integrity of God. But above all, do not swear. So what was going on is, like I read about this one rabbi, and he said, it's okay if you say, I swear by the city of Jerusalem, I'm going to do such and such. That's okay, you really don't have to do it if you said I've sworn by the city of Jerusalem. So it's kind of like a kid, you know, makes a promise and crosses their fingers, you know. It's kind of, okay, so I get really not to tell the whole truth. But the same rabbi said, if you pray towards Jerusalem, you have to fulfill your oath. So they were getting into those kinds of things. So they were having to evoke these oaths, all these commitments and promises, so people would believe them. We should be people that they believe us because of our history, because of our credibility, because our yes means yes and our no means no. Do you ever watch things on television and think, who's telling the truth? Who's telling the truth? I read this prayer done by a chaplain at the Kansas Senate. Here's what he prayed. Omniscient Father, help us to know who's telling the truth. One side tells us one thing, the other side just the opposite. If neither side is telling the truth, we'd like to know that too. If each side is telling half the truth, give us the wisdom to put the right halves together. In Jesus' name. That's a pretty good prayer, isn't it? So, last Sunday, Pastor Noel talked about greed. James is really in your face kind of book. But it's like, it's also very practical. It's real. It's about real people. And Pastor Noel reminded us that how do we overcome greed and selfishness? By generosity. If someone looked at your checkbook or at your credit card slips, would they see that your priority is God and his work? Generosity is the way to overcome greed in our lives. And we have a Savior that gave his life for us, and so we respond in love. We love because he first loved us. So, and loving people, giving, and a generous people. And I'm thankful for all the things that this church is able to do to minister to people that are hurting. Very thankful. So what's the application that we have out of these passages? Be patient with God. Remember how patient God has been with you. Anybody get that? Has God been patient with you? there was a prophecy, a word given early about remember what the Lord's done in your life. So be patient with God. Remember how patient God has been with you. Be patient with God and trust in God's timing. We like to be in control. We like to do things in our time, but trust in God's timing. He's at work in you and your circumstances. He uses the issue of a farmer, right? Remember he said, like the farmer? Why? How could the farmer be patient? Because he knew that things were happening that he couldn't see. And remember it said precious fruit? What was going to come out of that ground was going to give life to people. But the farmer, he did his work. You know, he sowed and he did all the work. But now he's got to trust God's timing for when the fruit is. So when we're going through suffering, a hard time, we've got to trust God's timing, not our timing, to be working. He's at work in you and in your circumstances, and you just have to trust him for that. And I think he loves it when we trust him when we're going through those hard times. Be patient with God. Remember, Jesus is coming back to make everything right. Everything here is temporary. Be patient. Trust God's sovereignty. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. I think Job always trusted in God's sovereignty. And then 5, be patient by fixing your eyes on Jesus. He is with you. What's it say? Fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. Jesus said that we're to proclaim, I'm sorry, Paul said to proclaim his death until he comes back again. How? Breaking bread and drinking wine, doing the simple thing, which we're going to do in a few minutes. We're going to remember what Jesus did on the cross. You know, you can usually tell what's most important in the church by what's in the center of the church. Whether it's the pulpit or the music ministry or the organ, whatever it is. What's at the center of our church? Cross and an altar. And so it's to remember that Jesus Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. He loves us that much. Anybody doesn't really know that, then please, just ask Jesus to forgive you and come into your life and take control of your life. And then allow God's patience to flow through you to those around you. What was happening here? They were fighting with each other, right? They said, do not grumble against other brothers so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And so we need to be patient, and as we're patient and allow God's patience to fill us, we have to let that flow into all of our relationships. So be patient by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Allow God's patience to flow through you to those around you. I sure can grow in that area. And then focus on the truth. Now, above all, that's the phrase that gets me, above all, that your yes be yes and your no be no. Focus on the truth. And telling the truth and believing the truth, and don't believe lies about yourself. So these are the ways that we can put the Word of God into practice and overcome suffering when we're going through a hard and difficult time. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you that we can trust that your timing is perfect. Lord, I know things are going on in people's lives here. Let them trust in your timing. Lord, we know that you are close to us. Help people to sense the closeness of Jesus, even when they're going through a hard, painful time where they're dealing with loss or grief. Let them just sense your closeness. Lord, thank you that you're close to us in all of life, not just some of life. And Lord, we do trust your sovereignty, Lord. Lord, you know we struggle. We want to be in control. Help us to surrender control to you of our lives. And Lord, we do thank you so much for your patience with us. And may your patience fill us as we trust in your timing, in your closeness, in your sovereignty, in your love, in your mercy and grace. We pray this in the name of mercy and grace, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's join together in worship as our worship team leads us.